starting a, you can just sit there, Michael. We're starting a new basic discipline. And we've covered this in many ways from the pulpit. So it's not new, but we're going to talk about gospel sharing. That should be a discipline that we practice. It's part of what we're here on earth for. So let's pray. And then we'll get started. Lord, bless our study, and I pray, Lord, that it would just be a profitable and fruitful time as we study this discipline. It's something we know you want us to be doing, and I pray that you'd help us to understand and learn and be equipped to be able to do this well. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Without, I was going to ask you where to find the Great Commission. In the Bible, there's actually five of them. That's what your notes reveal. It's once. Most of us think of the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28. You know, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. That's what we usually think of the Great Commission. But it's actually stated in every gospel in a different way. And it's there's different components to it. So this today is just somewhat of an introduction to go over the five passages and then to kind of dissect the passage a little bit. They differ. They don't contradict, but some emphasize some things and some emphasize others. Okay? So let's just take a peek at these. I've already quoted, for the most part, Matthew 28. Look at Mark 16, and it's in your notes of that second column, or the, I guess it's the third column. I made this a little differently, but I forgot to print off the new one at home, so this is the old one I snagged from my laptop here. Later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents if they drink anything deadly. It will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands over the sick, they will recover. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God, and they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. So that's Mark 16, okay? The last chapter of Mark. The last chapter in Luke, Luke 24, let me read this. Then he, Jesus, said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass while he blessed them that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. Now I'm going to jump over to Acts. That's the last one in the right column there. I'll read that. And then I'm going to go back to John 21. Okay. Acts chapter 1, starting with verse 7, says, and he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. Who needs to learn that verse in recent days? Harold Camping, right? Okay. But as you receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end. Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Now those four are pretty parallel. There's differences, but they're similar. John 21 is different, but I think it goes along with the same grouping. John 21, verses 15 through 17. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again, a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Tend my sheep." And he said to him a third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And he said to him, "Feed my sheep." All right? So they're different, but similar. Okay. I need one of those blank. I guess I don't need a blank chart. That's good. I think I'm good. Okay. What we want to do is go over and just fill these in based upon what we're looking at. Kind of just a workshop, really, to go through it. But what we want to do is identify, as we fill out the chart, we'll see how each passage is different and how each passage overlaps. Some of them bring only one thing up, and that it doesn't bring it up. Okay? Others do so. So what we want to do in the... Don't worry about the words to the left. They're kind of not confusing, but they're long words for simple ideas. But let's look at the first row here. It's authorization. Which passages, which of these five passages, any or all of them, be any or all, talk about the authority that Jesus has? Okay, so Matthew, so you can put down in that first box there just all authority, dot, 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 or whatever, and he lives there to, you know, that's what he says, all authority is given to me in heaven and in earth. Jesus says that. As far as I can tell, even though he acts with authority on the other passages, he tells them to do things, he doesn't, you know, specify his authority there. So it's kind of unique with Matthew there. So Matthew has all authority. The rest of the boxes are blank. On my chart anyway, that's what I had. Except for in Luke, I have one small thing. Let's see here if I can find it. Okay, verse 47 of Luke. You see that, Luke 24? I have in my chart, it says, in his name, which can be construed with some kind of authority. Go in my name, in my authority. So you can put in his name under Luke. Kind of a similar reference. Now these might have all occurred at the same time, except for the John one, but they all occurred after Jesus rose from the dead. Okay. Okay, it doesn't relate directly to the preaching, but you can put that there if you want. You can circle it or underline it or something there. Right, as far as the Great Commission goes. We'll talk about Mark in a little bit more detail too when we get the snakes here at church and let Jenny handle the snakes. Okay, excuse me. I never eat when I teach, and this is why. I'm stuck. Concentration. That's a lousy word. It's the overall picture of what Jesus wants them to do, which everything else is a part of it. What's the overarching idea that Jesus wants us to do? If you were to take one or two words and describe the Great Commission, what's the Great Commission in a nutshell? It actually is going to the end product. Okay. Make disciples. That's where we're going here. Sorry it's so confusing of a question. The concentration is make disciples. So if you put that there, the other passages tell you parts of making a disciple, as does Matthew. But Matthew leaves something out, and we'll see what it leaves out in a second here. It assumes it. It's not wrong, it just assumes it. But make disciples, that's the focus, okay? Concentration is probably not the best word. Participation. Now, who's Jesus talking to? Most of these you'll see right away. But you can go down. Matthew, who's he talking to? The 11. 11 disciples, you can just put the 11, okay? What about Mark? That's correct. In the chart that I think I had a little more. Does it say the 11? Okay, it does. Luke 24 says the 11, I think, in verse 33. That's where I enhanced the chart, but let me find it for you. He talked to the disciples on the road to Emmaus. Verse 33 says, and they found the 11 and those who were gathered together. So it's the 11 plus there. Luke. And it's verse 33, so you might want to 33 in parentheses or something, because it's not on that. It goes a little farther back. What about John? Who's he talking to in John 21? Yep, Simon or Simon Peter. He's talking very specifically. Very important passage, actually. We'll get to that here shortly. Then Acts. I think it's a verse 2, actually, in Acts. I'll read it to you here. He says, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. So the apostles, but how many apostles is he talking to here? In Acts chapter 2. Or 1, rather. One's gone, right? Who's that? Judas has killed himself, right? So the apostles, and you could put the 11 apostles or whatever. So similar to the other Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It's not in the passage I quote. It's more. It's in verse 2 of Acts chapter 1. It says this: until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive. So that's who he was with there as well. Okay? Yes, Mary. What's it say? Keep reading. Jesus said to Simon Peter, yep. Obviously, it was recorded for everybody's benefit, because you can read it today. It wasn't a secret conversation. But it adds some things. I believe it's kind of a more leader-focused, but there's some serious philosophy there. Okay, creation, okay, another, I worked on other stuff, I would have changed these words had I had enough time, okay? Saturation is who is supposed to get this. Who is he commanding the disciples to go to, if you will, or to preach to, or to whatever? Okay. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. So that's Matthew. What about Mark? Okay. All the world, every creature. There's two parts there. What about Luke? What do you see in Luke? Yep, all nations, Luke. And John, should have put John over to the side a little bit. But. A little different focus.
My lambs.
And sheep. Okay, we'll explain that more when we get there. Lambs and sheep, Jesus' lambs and sheep, to be specific. We're not talking about animals, right? Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. What about Acts? You guys are sharp, you're getting them all. This one's the longest one, he goes into more detail. Verse 8. Okay, starts out in Jerusalem, then Judea, Samaria, and to the othermost part of the earth, or the end of the earth. Okay? So it's kind of a progressive reaching out, but it ends up having the same idea as the others, just with a little more detail. Okay, now, which ones talk about proclaiming or preaching? By the way, preaching is usually a proclamation to unsaved people. From a technical standpoint, you don't preach from the pulpit unless you preach to unsaved people kind of thing. It's usually to unsaved people. Preaching is more of an evangelistic idea to those outside of the gatherings of the church usually. Which ones talk about preaching? Use the word preach or proclaim. Or saying something, yeah. Mark 16, or Mark 15, preach. Preach the gospel. Okay, we just want the word preach, though, in there. Luke 24. Verse 47 says that repentance and remission of sins should be what? Preached, right? Proclaimed, if you will. That's the idea, proclaimed. What about John? You don't really have that idea in John. You have feed, tend, and feed, which is different than preach. We'll get into more of that in a little bit. And then in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, we'll take shall be witnesses, so be witnesses will be close enough because it's something you're doing, talking outwardly to unsaved people. Notice Matthew 28 does not have the idea of preaching. Right. Who are you teaching, though? Who do you end up teaching? Saved people. Right. Exactly. We'll get to that. So there's two parts here. You have preach, which Matthew doesn't say. Matthew says make disciples. Okay. And part of that is preaching, but it assumes that. It implies that. Mark talks about preaching. Luke talks about preaching. Acts talks about witnessing, which is the same idea. Luke even mentions the idea of witness as well. But preach there, okay? So Matthew is not ignoring it, it's just assuming it. Okay, these don't contradict, like I said. They just look at it. Matthew sees the whole picture. Minus the preaching, it assumes the preaching. But it's more focused on the results of your preaching. What do you do when people respond? Okay? All right. Information. What are you preaching? Now, so we're limited to the three we just identified. Okay, because those are the three that have preaching there. What is being preached? What's the information? Mark 16, we're to preach what? See that? What is it? The gospel. So that's what we want there. Information is the gospel. Now, what's the gospel? Ethan, what's the gospel? Question, huh? Okay, the gospel means good news. What is the gospel? Exactly. Christ died according to the scriptures. You can find this in 1 Corinthians 15. Christ died according to the scriptures. He was buried. And he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And if you will, for us. Okay? That's the gospel that we're talking about here. What about Luke 24? A little different. What should be preached? Luke 24 says, repentance and remission of sins. Okay? What we have to say is when we're talking about the gospel involves that. Some people say, well, if you don't preach repentance, you're not preaching the gospel. Well, it's funny because the word repentance isn't always used when it talks about the gospel. Okay? Ultimately, it's for us, for remission of sins. I guess we'll add that here. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And that's what this talks about. Death for our sins. So this, in essence, means that. Okay? It's not saying something different. It's not offering up other requirements. It's saying the same thing in a different way. Repentance and remission of sins. What does the word repentance mean? Not exactly. Because that sounds like actions. Okay? I'll write out the Greek word in English. This means mind. Okay? Meta means to change. So repentance means to change one's mind or thinking. So repent means to change your thinking. You know what? You can't change your actions until you change your mind, okay? Actions should fit the repentance, but you're not saved by what you do. You're saved by what Jesus has done. So you're changing your mind about yourself, about your 1 Thessalonians talks about those who turn from idols to serve the living God. They changed their mind and said the idols are nothing. God is where our belief should be in, and that's what they did. So repentance is not saying something different than this. They need to believe this rather than whatever else they were believing. And then Acts 28, I'll just give you the answer. He says, you'll be witnesses unto me or concerning me. So that's the content of that, the information there. For Acts 1:8, it uses the word to me, and it's like you're witnessing about Jesus or representing him. So that's what that's talking about there. Questions so far? We should be down through information. So far, there is nothing in John. You're doing well, except for Simon Peter.
Well, yeah, I've got that.
Yep. Because Jim's already kind of hit it a little bit. It actually hits a different part of the Great Commission. Okay? Okay, now, identification, I'll probably give you the answer to this one too, but you'll say, oh yeah, I know that. How is a saved person, how do they make it known that they've trusted Jesus as their Savior? In a formal way.
Baptism.
Okay, which passage is talking about baptism? Just Matthew. So put baptism, baptizing them in the Matthew for identification. That's the only one that brings that up. So you see that each one, Matthew kind of looks at the big picture. It assumes the preaching part, but here's the full process. The others, Mark and Luke, kind of look more on the preaching side, and so does Acts, okay? And then John focuses more on the teaching them side, okay? Instruction now. Instruction. Which one talks about instructing them? Not preaching to them, not sharing them the gospel, but instructing them. Which passage or passages? Matthew, once again. Okay? Teaching them to observe what I've commanded you. That's not part of the gospel, is it? It's part of discipleship after the gospel. But as Paul describes the gospel, he says that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and then He was buried and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel. The rest of it is the result of the gospel. We're now part of God's family. We're part of the body of Christ. We're owned by Him. We're bought with a price. So therefore, teaching them is the instruction. Now, what does John have to say about that? The others don't say anything about that. They have the proclaiming the gospel part. What's John have to say? A word that they would use instead of teach. Yes. Oh, you're right. It does have baptizing there. So put baptizing. It's a little bit confusing, but it's not that hard. He says, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But notice what it you don't do if, to not be saved. But whoever does not, what?
Believe,
not believe and is not baptized, okay? Baptizing is also Mark. Good call there. Okay, and John, what's the word? Oftentimes people use it in a negative sense. I've changed churches because I'm not being fed, okay? What are they? Usually that could be true, but I'll give every pastor a benefit of the doubt. I'm not saying it can't be true, but two to tango. It takes a person wanting to learn part of that. But feed. Jesus said, do you love me? And He says, yes, I love you. Feed my lambs. And later on in verse 17, He says, feed my sheep. So it's the word feed, okay? So that's instruction, teaching them, or feeding them. And it's the word for feed. You know, it's the Greek word, it's feed. Now the word completion, again, I'd change all these words if I could, but completion is, a lot of people think a church preaches the gospel every Sunday morning in the pulpit. I've been in churches like that. It's not wrong to preach the gospel, though most people that are unsaved are aware. They're not in the church building, right? They're outside the church building. It's not wrong to preach the gospel in the church building because maybe, you know, they're younger people or visitors or whatever. But what is the church's primary responsibility? We've read a passage from Ephesians 4 today. He gave some apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry. The primary purpose we gather is to equip the saints. for the work of ministry. Now, that part of that work of ministry is sharing the gospel. But there's more to that than sharing the gospel, right? It isn't just an evangelistic sermon on Sunday mornings. We're feeding the sheep. Okay? Matthew says we're teaching them to what? Not know the gospel. We're teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded. So that's completion. The gospel, or the teaching them, the point you want to put in there is all things that Jesus has commanded. Okay? The purpose of the church then is to equip the saints to do everything that Jesus has commanded. So it's way beyond the gospel. I've been in churches that do very good in evangelism, but they didn't do anything on the teaching side. And that's lopsided. It's like only driving with left turn or something. Or maybe two tires on your car. You just can't get there from here. You need them, but you need other stuff too. It's incomplete is all I'm saying. And there's also churches that don't evangelize, and they're the other, using the other two tires or whatever. You need both. Now, completion is hinted at in John chapter 21. Jesus commands Peter to feed my sheep feed my lambs in verse 15, and then feed my sheep in verse 17. By the way, let's stop there for a minute. What's the difference between those two? It's the same word feed, but what's the difference? Mature and immature. There's a different level of feeding that lambs need than adult sheep. Now, I wish I could have spent more time with my cousin earlier this year, but he raises Suffolk sheep. My dad used to do that. But lambs need special attention. Okay? But after a while, then the sheep grow up and they're able to kind of handle it more. They still need fed, but they don't need that special feeding that the lambs need. Okay, now the middle one in John 21:16, Jesus commands Peter to do something different. Tend. What else do you do with sheep besides feed them? Yes. The word tend is the verb form of the word for pastor, which is what pastor means. A pastor is one who tends. So it's a farming term. It's a shepherd. Okay? It's you could translate to shepherd my sheep. So that it's to fully care for them. So I put the word tend in that category across from teaching them to observe, because that it isn't just giving them information, it's helping them with that information. The word progression here, you may find in different ones. Probably Matthew you find it, because it's implied that you're preaching to them. And then it's implying that some accept, but then there's also a baptizing and then a teaching. So there's baptize, and you might want to put an arrow and then teaching under Matthew 28. And then also you see a progression. We just talked about it under John 21. And Matthew 28, right, do this right here. Go. You can put believe if you want, but it's going to be in kind of parentheses or whatever because it's implied. And then you're baptized, and then you teach. Okay? That's for Matthew. There's a progression. In John, you find a progression. What's the progression? Lambs to sheep, right? So there's a progression, a maturity, as Jim said, that you're immature, and then you grow to be mature. A newly saved person that hasn't been taught the Bible isn't going to know nearly how to live their life as God would have them, or even how to leverage the power of God to do so, as well as someone who's mature in the faith. The difference between spiritual and physical, though, at least to some degree, is can you be saved and not be mature? Can you be saved for a long time and not grow up? You can. You can be that way. And maybe we can liken that to someone handicapped or something in a mental way, you know, on a physical level. But the idea is God expects us to mature, but it doesn't happen automatically. We're to desire the pure milk of the Word that we may grow by it. If we ignore the Word of God, we don't avail ourselves to the teaching of God, we'll remain immature, we'll remain babes in the faith. But there's a progression implied and expected to teaching them to observe all things I've commanded is really a progression too, isn't it? How you doing on that? See, Kevin, I don't even know if I can list all of them. It's like, me neither. Okay? But the idea is it's a progress at the same time. Infusion. Now that's a... How about empowerment, if you want to do that? Instead of infusion. For the word infusion, you can... Over to the left. Instead of the word infusion. There you go. Yeah. I would... You can add it to there. Infusion is right. Vague again. Like I said, I'd redo these. I will. Maybe I'll do them for next week and hand out a completed chart for you here. But Matthew 28. It's like, how does God help us or encourage us? The infusion, the encouragement. In Matthew 28. There you go. So I am with you always. Now that implies something that maybe it means the same thing in other passages. You don't find that in Mark, but you do find it something similar. How does God help us or encourage us? In Luke. How does he help us or encourage us in Luke? Okay, very good. And what? And he, a little bit later in that same verse, he explains it a little more. He says, "Tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." I think it's talking about the same thing, the promise of the Father, power on high. Okay? Now, Acts seems to define what that means a little more. Verse 8. What does verse 8 in Acts say? "You shall receive this power when the..." What? What's the power identified as? The Holy Spirit. Okay, so who's the Holy Spirit? It's the other person of the Godhead. He indwells every believer from Pentecost onward. We have the Holy Spirit that comes and lives within us. So we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, as we kind of refer to it out in the auditorium this morning. Temple of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit lives within us, and He empowers us to be able to be witnesses. So that's how God encourages us. He gives us His presence through the power of the Holy Spirit living within us. Now the last one here, you could say it two different ways, but how long do we do this until? You can look at it two ways. If you look at it time-wise, it probably only talks about one passage. If you look at it geography-wise, it'll be in more passages. How often are we supposed to do this until? If Jesus, he says, go and do it till the end of the age. Harold Camping, remember, he's the guy that was predicting the world would end on May 21st. He doesn't evangelize anymore. Okay? That's one of his aberrations, his false belief. Go ahead. But what's he do now? Because what Harold Camping says is, after May 21st, then there's no evangelism. So this implies, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age, until Jesus comes back, okay, the end of the age. Now, that's the one passage that talks about how long on a time basis. What about a geography basis or a person basis? You can do time, end of the age, end of the age. No sense for Jesus to say that if we need to stop before that. What about geography? You could say this way. End of the world, right? The uttermost part of the world. End of the earth, I'll put it that way, because end of the world sounds like end of time. So, from a time perspective, we do it to the end of the age. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. From a geography perspective, to the ends of the earth, right? So we've, and we would have to say that we haven't done that. We're not done yet. And then the last one would be people. You're to preach the gospel to all nations. And Mark says every what? Every creature. So you can say, well, we've done all nations. Yeah, but have you done every creature? I'm talking about the human beings, of course. So all three of these, it depends on what angle you're looking at, but each one says we do it until Jesus comes back, ultimately. We do it until we're all done. If we've covered the entire earth and preached the gospel to every creature, then I guess we can quit. Right? So we can say that. But Jesus is going to, and by the way, people keep being born and all that, so it's not like it's not a moving target, right? That way too, so. Questions or comments? Did you remember there were five great commissions? Matthew seems to look at the big picture. If you want to put that down below or up above, if you want to put that big picture right here, right, big picture down here. Mark and Luke are more the preaching the gospel part, as is Acts. John is more the teaching them to observe part, okay? They don't contradict. They fit fine together. When you take them all together, it's the perfect picture. Matthew leaves out preaching. It assumes preaching. Okay? Matthew implies preaching because you can't make this without doing, you can't be baptizing or teaching people that you haven't preached. Questions or comments? Which ones did Matthew 28 talks about all nations, so that would be people, and he does end of the age, so it has nations and age, so people and time. Mark says every creature in the world, so geography and people, but not time. Though time is built in because it takes, you do it till you're finished, right? Luke says all nations. So it just says people. It doesn't really bring out, it implies time and geography, but it brings out nations itself. John 21 really doesn't bring that out. It's a specific group. It's the lambs and sheep. Those are the people that are saved. So that's where you take them to the next level. You preach the gospel to them, but once they're saved, you teach them the entire Word of God. Acts says it's geography. It's Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the other most parts of the earth. So that's really the geography part. So Mark is the world and every creature, so it would be geography and people. And again, these don't contradict. They just, I don't know what I have in the back. They don't contradict. They fit together very nicely. I like John 21 because it's kind of Jesus is commanding Peter to focus on his people. Yep, you know, you still have to evangelize, but he focuses on a particular part. So all of those are true. So if you mesh all those together, you get the full picture. Matthew kind of gives the overview, so that's why you hear more about Matthew rather than Mark, Luke, John, or Acts. Okay? More so anyways. Any other questions or comments? All right. Let's close in a word of prayer. Barry, you want to close us in prayer, please?